So I'm Chairholder Stephen Mayne. I just wanted to ask, does the candidate intend to serve a full term?
Yes, yes.
Okay. And as the Executive Chairman?
Yes.
Right, so there's no plans at Reece to perhaps move to a more conventional governance structure in the foreseeable future?
No.
And I know we've added another director over this period, but there are a few governance advisors who would regard the Reece board structure as obviously not being optimum. Agreed, the performance has been terrific, but why have you not given, give me the arguments as to why you don't think that perhaps one less Wilson on the board and perhaps one more independent director would not be perhaps more appropriate in the current environment.
Mr. Pitcher would like to answer that. The results do speak for themselves, and may I say that one thing that really annoys me about these sorts of rules and regulations is that too many people think that if you tick boxes, that it makes it right. And I think if you look across the landscape of very successful business around this country and others for that matter, that having companies stay within what I call ticking the box doesn't necessarily make that a stronger board or a stronger business. That's my answer.
The second item of ordinary business is the re-election of Andrew Gorecki. Mr. Gorecki, who was appointed as additional director.
Chairman, you didn't put the vote.
Sorry,
I apologise.
Okay.
I now put the motion to the meeting. Those in favour? Against? I declare the motion carried and congratulate Mr. Wilson on his re-election.
The second item of ordinary business is the re-election of Andrew Gorecki. Mr. Gorecki, who was appointed as additional director on the 27th of March 2008, retires in accordance with the company's constitution and being eligible offers himself for re-election. I move that Mr. Gorecki, being eligible for re-election, be appointed director of the company. Do I have a second of the motion?
Yes, Mr. Webb.
I advise that proxy votes received for this resolution are in favour 87,058,062, open 151,293, against 437, abstained 5,600. I now put the motion to the meeting.
Chairman, were you considering asking for questions, were you?
You may.
All right. I'm just wondering if the candidate. Is the candidate involved in the audit committee?
Yes.
Just wondering if the candidate is comfortable with Reece's practice of having the founder of Pitcher Partners as chairman of our audit committee when we are audited by Pitcher Partners. Now, the biggest reform that came out of the HIH Royal Commission was that the HIH board was full of Arthur Anderson former partners, including the finance director, and they signed audited accounts saying it was worth $1.5 billion when it was broke. And we are one of the last companies in this country, and we are a great, credible, strong company, yet we are just flagrantly ignoring that basic concept of having independent auditors from our audit committee. So can the candidate please address the question of whether he is comfortable personally sitting on an audit committee with Mr. Pitcher when Mr. Pitcher's old firm is our audit firm?
I have to say that in my professional dealings with many organizations, I have not come across a person of a high as caliber as high as Mr. Pitcher. And I'm actually privileged to be part of the audit committee, and I couldn't find any question mark to be put against that. Makeup of the committee, so I'm not sure what is the concern.
Mr. Pitcher is as independent as anybody, He has been independent of Pitcher Partners for, I think it's nearly 8 or 9 years now. And I can assure you we are very fortunate to have him on our board and representing the things that he does. He has the highest ethics that we have, we are all very comfortable going forward. If there is no further questions.
Chairman, I'd like to follow up, please. I was very disappointed with Ron's comments about box tickers and basically throwing out the whole argument about governance. I mean, he's a former accountant. Accountants and auditors tick boxes. It's all part of transparency and accountability.
We've had enough of those questions. Would you mind sitting down, please?
Chairman, I have one more follow-up question for the candidate on this resolution, as the corpse law does to give you the protection to ask another question.
You've been given two questions. We only have to answer two, and we've answered two. So,
Chairman, it's 14 minutes past three. We're 14 minutes into
a... to say that. You've had two questions.
I have another question on the candidate in question. Chairman, where did you source our new independent director from? Can you please reveal the relationships between the Wilson family and Rees, if there are any, in the sourcing of our newest director, or did we use a headhunter and independently seek the best available talent out there to broaden the depth and give an element of independence to our incredibly inbred board?
Well, I'll let my son answer that.
I mean, I think if we just try and take the heat out of all the questions, if you look at the one thing everyone needs to understand, I think most people in the room do, is that it is a unique, there isn't a company like this on the stock market. So it's 77% is controlled by obviously the family. So we've got under 1,000 shareholders. So there's a lot of unique parts to the company. In terms of the corporate governance guidelines, they are guidelines, and I actually believe we don't meet all of them, but we are making we're meeting the ones that we think that we can do at this point for the size of the company and the size of the board. And I think even in the last year, we've made we've added another independent director, and Andrew is an independent director. He came across the business about 10 years ago through being a journalist, writing articles on TQM, and he consults a lot of other retailers, and it was a very casual relationship over a number of years, and that's how we got to know Andrew, and is Andrew, in my view, over that time, and currently what he's doing now has added a lot of value. So I think we're just going to keep all that in the context. There isn't one size that fits all. I can tell you what, when Ron said that the box ticks, and Ron's driven more of the corporate governance guidelines in the company than anyone. So in terms of, so we can get into this debate, and I know that's what you're trying to do, to get some probably interest, and probably there might be a journalist here or whatever. So, but I do think we are moving in the right direction, and you've got to take it one step at a time. And this company is unique. It's got a unique structure. There's not another one like it in this country. So I think that answers possibly that question.
Peter, there's some very sensible comments, and I agree with you in much of what you've just said. I'm glad you've added an extra director. I would just counsel to our executive chairman, who tried to shut down debate at a public company meeting 15 minutes in, and to the chairman of our audit committee, who completely dissed the notion of corporate governance, that more than 20% of this company is owned by the public shareholders. It's a public company. I've asked questions at 300 plus public AGMs over the years. I've never seen a chairman try and shut it down like that so abruptly and dismiss any discussion on governance. And I would simply say to you, Chairman, make us an offer and take us out, and then you can run it like a private company. But if you don't want to do that, if you want to leave 20% of this stock worth several hundred million dollars in the public company space, then this is a public company, and you should run your one public engagement of the year like a public company, rather than how you've conducted today's meeting. I came here today wanting to heap praise on your performance and make a couple of points on governance, and have been very taken aback at the vitriol, the attitude you've shown to what are pretty standard comments about governance. Peter's made some good points. We all agree you're in a unique position. You are a great company with a great history. There's not enough companies like Rees out there which are genuine successes in Australia, but you should remember you are a public company, and if you want to continue to have the attitude that you have, make us an offer and take us out.
My concern about your questions is that you took it right out of context. I am a very strong believer in governance. What concerns me is that there is a general belief out there that if you can, I'll use the expression, tick the box, you've automatically got the sort of integrity, the sort of skill, the sort of experience, the sort of behaviours that you would hope that all public company boards should have. We don't have that. You saw what the commissioner said on HIH. In his final report, he said the board could have all ticked the box on corporate governance. And that's where I'm coming from in answer to your question. That in this company, I can assure you, we have a very strong view about corporate governance, about ethics, about moralities, about making sure that we're acting in the best interests of all shareholders. And that's a regular comment that's made at our board meetings about making sure that we recognise that there is a small minority, but they are just as important as every other shareholder in the company. And that's the way in which the board meetings, the way in which decisions about the company are taken.
All right. I now move the motion to the meeting. Those in favour? This is for Mr. Gorecki, of course. Against, I declare the motion carried and congratulate Mr. Gorecki on his re-election. The second item of ordinary business is the adoption of a remuneration report for the financial year ending 30th of June 2008. As required under the Corporations Act, there must be a reasonable opportunity for members to ask questions or comment on the remuneration report. Does any member have a question or a comment on the remuneration report? I will remind all those present that a vote on this matter is advisory only and is non-binding on the directors. Yes.
Chairman, my only brief comment would be that I was at the AMCOR meeting this morning, and the non-executive directors there get between $250,000 and $300,000, and the CEO is on $5 million. And if you have a look at our figures, I think it's fair to say that we're underpaying our non-executive directors. That Ron and the other three directors should be probably on 150, 200 if you want to get to market rates. And if you are going to say, well, we run it like a private company, we don't need the money, if that's your argument for particularly what the Wilson Neds are getting paid, well, then clearly Laurie and Peter are being overpaid in drawing salaries of 2.5 and 1.6. So I think you need to take a consistent position. Either the Wilsons run the company, own the company, make a fortune on the dividends, don't need to be paid at all, and you can be like the Packers and you can work for free, which, you know, a lot of people say is terrific of the Packers to do that, or you can pay everyone probably appropriately according to market rates. So I think you should pay your Neds properly or take this Wilson family charity position, because at the moment you're a twixt in between in terms of your pay philosophies across the whole board.
Okay, point taken. I now move the remuneration report for the financial year ending 30th of June to be adopted. Do I have a seconder for this motion? I advise that the proxy votes received for the resolution are in favour, 87,033,367, open, 150,113, against, 21,012, abstain, 10,900. I now put the motion to the meeting. Those in favour? I declare the remuneration report for the financial year ending at 30th of June 2008 adopted. I now open the meeting to all members to ask questions of the directors or to make comments on the management of the company. Does any member have any questions or comments? Yes, James.
I'd just like to say that Reece have looked after staff members and that really well in the past, and I just hope they continue to do this.
Chairman, I was actually hoping you would respond to that comment on the remuneration report. Is that too much to ask for?
If I could say one thing on that, I think you can't compare. There's got to be reward for ownership and reward for management, so I don't think it's not paying yourself enough. I think that how we are rewarding is based on our skills and we said it's been fair. So,
well, you're in charge of the remunerations. Do you want to make any comments on that?
No, I'm very happy to take that ball, what he said. No, look, I think, if I may just say, one of the things that makes this such a great company is the culture that's embedded in it. And I think, speaking for myself, I've always regarded it as a great privilege to have been involved with the company for such a long time and now to be on the board and doing the things we do. And I really mean that. I therefore regard it as a privilege, and I don't really think about, and I mean this, the dollar reward very much. I'm more concerned that I am contributing and feel that I have a contribution to make. And I can assure you that the moment I feel I can't make the right sort of contribution, I'll be off. So that's the way I feel about it.
Okay,
and I take your point. I understand where you're coming.
Well, and my one final comment is that I mean, four AGMs I've been to in the last 28 hours: Asciano, AWB, Tabcorp, Amcor, all of which have got too much debt, and in this credit-constrained world, they can't pounce. And the Amcor chairman made a comment about finding diamonds in the rubble at the moment. Now we have a magnificently strong balance sheet, very, very prudently managed, and I would just counsel you that this is a fantastic buying opportunity. And I hope that you're really active out there and that you can gather up some great sales in this bargain basement global liquidation of assets that's going on at the moment. So be active, and you've got a magnificent land bank. There's all sorts of distressed property up for sale. I'm not saying you go into the property business, but certainly in our core business. I hope this time next year we're talking about the great acquisitions we made with our strong balance sheet during the great crisis liquidation of the end of 2008.
The only downturn that I've experienced, which was in 1991, and we were very much a Victorian-based operation, and we got caught up in what took place in Victoria. We didn't have the national presence. I just know that we came out of it in a much stronger way than compared to our competitors. So going forward, we have a strategy in place with the growth rollout. We have a lot of very interesting products coming through that will add to our mix and products that we will take to the market. I would like to think that when the market does pick up, and hopefully that will be in the next 12 or 18 months, it will come out a bigger and a better and stronger company for it. Well, Brian mentioned, we're continuously looking at buying sites or leasing sites, and there are some that we have agreed to land bank in readiness. Knowing the company, we're not good at that. We tend to, once we get the site, we want to move on it and get it going. And that's probably part of the indigestion that we're experiencing. We probably thought that when we planned out our rollout to 18 months, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, that business would just keep rolling along, and these things happen and it doesn't roll along. And so we've probably got ahead of ourselves a little bit, but it's going to be good for the future. Okay.